This week the Lord has been dealing with me and saying that he wants to show his people that he deals with things legally, not emotionally. He has emotion, but he don't deal with things emotionally. He deals everything legally. And all people say, oh, know the law. You better know the law of Christ. God deals with laws. He does things legally. He does not break the laws. And I'm not talking about the old covenant. I'm talking about the law of faith. I'm talking about the law of love. I'm talking about the royal law of love. So a lot of people think, well, there's no laws, and I'm American. I'm independent. Well, there's no independence in the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Your joint heirs does not mean independent. Right? So we need to learn how to get along like a family. Amen? So, Elizabeth, would you read for us there, please?
Chapter 10, verses starting with 7. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I have come to do your will, O God.
So here the writer is explaining that in the Old Testament, God gave the writers, the Holy Spirit inspired them to write in the volumes of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, to write out that it's, what is God's will. And it was God's will for Jesus to come to the earth because God loved us. Amen? So, next, honey.
Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law.
So God said in the Old Covenant, he set up the law of the Old Covenant and said, if you do this, I'll do this. If you do this, I'll do this. So if I gave an offering to a sin today, I could give an offering, and then God would atone or cover that sin. Okay? So he set up the Levitical priesthood to atone until he got here. Amen? Meaning the Lamb of God. So under the Old Covenant, your sins could only be covered. Your mistakes could only be covered. Amen? Go ahead.
And then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second.
Amen. And so he's saying there, I took away the old covenant to establish a new covenant. Amen. So we're not under the old covenant. We're under or in the new covenant. Amen. So the new covenant, we found out that it wasn't God's will of those all of the atoning sacrifices. It wasn't God's will. But he would accept that atonement until the real sacrifice, the Holy Lamb of God, would come and establish the second so we could be forgiven forever. Okay, go forward.
By that will, before it says, I've come to do your will, by that will we have been sanctified or set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
So therefore he's saying to you, I want to establish to you the fact that you're not of this world or set apart from this world into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And that is his will. You be separate from the world and in his kingdom. Amen? Or in the church of Jesus Christ. Amen?
And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins.
So there's always, under the old covenant, there's always remembrance of sin. Under the new covenant, because the Lamb of God blotted out all the sin, not a remembrance of sin, so there's a remembrance of victory, redemption, and being sanctified and separated from my past.
Yes, hallelujah.
Yay! Forgive me, but I'm getting excited anyways.
But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever,
for how long?
Forever. Sat down at the right hand of God from that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool.
So Jesus purchased complete forgiveness for how long? So your sins will never be brought up in the kingdom of God. The devil will bring them up to you, but hey, you got authority over him. Tell him to shut up. Call to us. Amen. You're God's baby. And even as a baby, man, you're forgiven forever. It's not there no more. And I said, wait a minute, I'm forgiven to this point. What about tomorrow, God? I can hear him chuckle. John, Jesus bore that on the cross back there, right? Yes, sir. But why do you think he only bore your current sins? Back there, they weren't current. I said, duh. So he covered my sins for my whole life back there. And your whole life, he's already covered them. Amen? You're already forgiven. What you going to do is cleanse your conscience by asking forgiveness. And so you can operate like I am perfect in Christ.
Amen?
Amen? I'm perfect in him. So when I go before God, he sees me as I'm perfect. And the devil wants you to think God doesn't. Well, he's a liar. You know that. He's a liar. God sees you through the blood. Amen? Because when you come to the throne of grace, the mercy seat between you and God, God looks through the blood that was poured out on the mercy seat. Amen? Let's go further, honey.
For by one offering,
one,
he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified.
Was the blood of Jesus perfect?
Yes.
Was it powerful enough to cover sin for eternity?
Yes.
Then that one sacrifice covered it forever. Forever. So I can go to the throne of God boldly by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And I can request by that blood. And because of that great, great love, I can trust him.
Amen.
To know he will accept me in the beloved.
But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them.
Amen. So, you know, the scripture says, your thoughts are not my thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. And God said, I've got to fix that. Because they've got to talk like me, and they've got to think like me, because they're my children. So he said, I will send my son to be the sacrifice so I can write their laws in their heart and their mind. But that's not all. That sacrifice allowed him to come live in you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And he will teach you by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit will teach you day and night if you can handle it.
Hallelujah.
There's no end of what you can learn about God, thinking about God. There's no end, because there's no end of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You will have Him forever. Right. He's forever your teacher.
Amen.
I'm going to be like Him. It may take a trillion years, but I'm going to be like Him. Because the Holy Spirit is not going to fail.
That's right.
And so I'm not going to fail.
That's right.
Because my goal in life is to be like Him. And I got the teacher and I got the Holy Bible to start with. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Bible. I mean, the Bible is basic instructions. Because you can't take more than that. You can't take more than that. Okay, I'm in the you. Even though it's not I, I'm still in the you. Woo! So that's exciting. The Father not only saved me, not only cleansed me, blotted out all my sins by the holy blood of Jesus Christ, He now wants to train me to be like Him. He not only caused me to be born again, become a child of the living God, now He's taking responsibility as a father. He wants to be my daddy and live right inside of me and talk to me. I'm a father.
Yeah.
I say, Father, I'm your boy. I'm your boy. And I'm glad to say that I took my chest out. It's going, Father. Anybody shouting yet?
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, man, that makes me shy. Okay.
And then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more.
Hallelujah.
I blew it one time. I did something really dumb. And I was in myself, beat myself up. Boom, boom, boom. Tell me, you knew better than that. Why did you do that? I was real hard on myself back then. And it was, I said, Father, I'm sorry, God. He said, what? You know what I did? What are you talking about, John? You know I did that. What are you talking about? You're not stupid. You know what I did. He said, I don't remember it. I don't remember it, John. My word is truth. So wake up. And then I realized, I said I believed it, but I really didn't believe it. My sins are forgiven. And Jesus is a guarantee. Father God wanted me to move from death and sin to life eternally in heaven, in Him. That was His will. That's His purpose. So He sent Jesus to purchase that purpose. He paid for me to go from death to life with Him. And the price paid it all. Every day I'm living perfected in Him. People say, well, you're not perfect. We're not talking about me. We're talking about Him. I am in Him. By the blood. By the covenant. He took away the first. The first covenant was, you do this and I'll do that. You do this commandment, I'll do this blessing. You do this commandment, I'll do this blessing. But in the new covenant, Jesus, new covenant, God the Father and God Jesus, God Jesus is perfect. He never fails. He never fails. And I'm in Him. So I live in His perfection, not my works. I live in His perfection, not His works. Not my works. So anytime I go to the Father, it's in His works. In His blood. In His love. To what am I going to get? My works? Nah. I am sanctified. Is that right? Amen. And what does sanctified mean? set apart. I'm set apart from my works to his works.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to start dancing a little bit.
Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin.
Go ahead and speak on that, please.
Remission means it's totally gone, wiped out as if it had never been. So if your sin has never been, if it's wiped out, totally gone, you don't need to keep making an offering for your sin. It's over.
I thought I was doing the right thing by beating myself up, yet I was disgracing the blood sacrifice of Jesus, saying through my ignorance, I was saying, your blood was not good enough. Did his blood cover it or not? Yes, it did. So I should have acted in humility and came and said, Father, forgive me. Thank you. I'm forgiven. That glorifies him. Because I believe that sin is not stronger than the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
You know, right?
Amen.
The blood can wash it. The blood can blot it out.
Hallelujah.
If that don't stir your stir, something, pray to Liz. No, go ahead, read some more, please.
Therefore, brethren, having boldness.
What? Having what? What? Have what?
Boldness.
Who are we talking about? Brethren. Jesus' brother. Well, if you're Jesus' brother, you're God's child. You're born of the Holy God. You have the Creator's DNA in you, in your spirit, not this body, in your spirit. You have His very nature in you. And what we are is babies, and we've got to allow God to write in our hearts and minds and develop us into His child. That's your destiny, is to be like Him. But you've got to let God work in you to develop that. Amen. You got to desire the sincere milk of the word. Notice that word, desire. Many Christians just, I desire to have my bills paid. I desire to have a nice house. I desire to have nice health. I have desire. You got all these desires, and those are not wrong, but some of you should desire more than all those things is to be like God. The desire to be more like Him. Whose will is it, Brother Phil, to be like Him? It's His will, isn't it? He sent Jesus back. He was so committed to you being like Him, He sent Jesus back to pay the price so you could be like Him. I want to obey His will. Amen. I am going to be like Him. Go ahead, honey.
Well, the writer of Hebrews is drawing a picture. He's making a picture. And he says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest. Now, the people that were reading this knew he's talking about the Holy of Holies, the place that high priest could only go into once a year and nobody else could go in. And he says, you got boldness to go in. And your boldness is in not the blood of bulls and goats, but the blood of Jesus by a new and living way. There's a new door which He consecrated for us through the veil, not that veil woven out of thread that was ripped from top to bottom when Jesus died. No, a new way, a new door through the veil that is His flesh.
You know what the door is that's been opened to you, don't you? Door of faith. You have faith in Jesus, that door's open. Amen. I have faith in Jesus paid the price to purchase my health. So the door of health is open to me. And I believe that God wanted me to prosper, so He paid the price of prosperity. So I believe, because I have faith that Jesus bought that for me, that door of prosperity is open to me by faith. See, faith opens every door for you, exceeding and great and precious promises were given to you pertaining to what? Life. Everything about your life, spiritually and naturally, is in the promises of God and godliness. To make us more like Him, love like Him, have faith like Him, and have hope like He has. Amen. All those can be developed by the written word in your heart. And then your mind has to be trained, washed, and converted from wrong thinking so you make the right decisions, both morally and spiritually. That's, is that clear enough? A little heavy on a morally, but go ahead.
And having a high priest over the house of God.
This is what Elizabeth, when she does the offering, she brings up all the time. Under the new covenant, Jesus is the high priest. So all offering to the Father has to go through Him. That's why we receive the offerings, amen, and then we turn around and give them to Him so He can offer them to the Father. And once He offers them to the Father, they are recorded in heaven. So when you get up in heaven and you're standing at the judgment seat of Christ, not the white throne judgment, believers go to the judgment seat of Christ. And He says, this is your reward. Your tithe and offering will be listed in there. That's not all. All your acts of kindness is listed in there. Also, all the things you did and sacrifices you did. So when the Lord says, lose weight, and you put that apple pie to the side, that's written in heaven. This is His temple. He bought and paid for it. So He has a right to ask you to be nice to it. It's His property. We don't think like that, but we're wrong thinking. Go ahead, hon. We won't cover that anymore, okay?
Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
What's that mean? So, see, while people don't have assurance in God because they don't have faith toward Him, faith is what gives you assurance. Faith gives you a knowing or assurance. So, that's why we must hear the Word so our faith or our assurance or our trust in God grows stronger and stronger as we hear and study the Word of God. That's why He fights you so much, the devil resists you so much in hearing the Word and studying the Word. And your body does too, because it don't want to be renewed, because it wants to protect itself. I didn't say that. Yes, I do. Okay, go forward, huh?
This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
The first major thing there is God made covenant. Amen. Now, what that means, when you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are now in covenant with God. Amen. So, like Elizabeth came to me and said, John, I want to go to Macy's and buy new clothes. And she asked me that. You know what I'm going to say? Yes. Because we have a love covenant together. That the marriage vows is a love covenant between two people. So she has legal rights. I'm not talking about the law of the land. I'm talking about before God. She has legal rights to request of me and expect a response of love. But the same thing, I say, hey, I won't go get me a new truck. What do you think? And she, if she cannot eat, think and read like, we can't afford it. But maybe we should pray, something like that. She'll say yes. She won't say no, right? And that's the way it happens. I think the Lord showed us we didn't pray about this. And we'll pray about it. And then I come back to her, or she comes to me and say, this is what the Lord told me. If I ask her to pray about something, I'll come back to her, and we'll talk about what the Lord gave us. If they're not the same, we let it lie. Because if it's God's will, he'll tell both of us. Because if it's his will, then he's responsible to tell both of us, because we're responsible to follow him. Amen. Both of us, right? Amen. And usually that is a sure point of failure. Amen? But not between us. Yeah, give it by, girl. But my point is, that's that covenant in working. See that? It's a covenant. And people don't understand, Jesus established a covenant between God's children and him. That's why he has the right to ask you to do something. Because you're in covenant with him. He has a right to say, John, you go do this. And I'm covenant bound. I should go do it. But also, if I say, Father, I would like a brand new car. And I've been thinking about that. What's a Rolls Royce is what I've been thinking about. And by covenant, not Christians, by covenant rights, I have a right to ask them for one. Now, the reason I won't ask him for one, because I can't pay the maintenance on it. But if I could, I'd ask him for one. See, I got some responsibility wherever God gets me to take care of it, right? So, but anyways, I'm trying to show you there's no limit to that covenant. People and bad teaching of the word is limited God's babies. It's time that we change that. Believe God, he is mighty. Yes, he's mighty. He's powerful. Oh, yes, he's powerful. But he can only bring you a Volkswagen. You have decided, because you had bad teaching, to limit God. Another thing, bad teaching, another thing is pride. I can get it myself. God saved me, but I can do the rest. Salvation is more than that. You need to bear that pride, or best way to say that, crucified. Right? You might want to come teach before I get bigger. See, now, it's important you see, God desires to bless your life with his life so much, he sent Jesus back to purchase it. So these things we're sharing, you know, I'm trying to make it light, but it's very serious. God paid an awesome price to make you think like him and have his ways to live like him. He paid an awesome price to make that available to you. But he will not force it on you. That's the lie that the devil sowed in the Christians. Is God going to make you take this? He's not. Because he will not go back on his word. If he does, he's a liar. And it's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible. Impossible. Do you know what that word means, John? Yes, it can't happen. It can't happen. God won't lie, can't lie. It's impossible. So he said, Adam and Eve, the foundation of mankind, Adam, you have dominion in this earth. Is God going to force you to accept his blessings? No. You have to choose life or death. You have to choose what? Blessing or curse. All those are your choice. No, it takes effort because you have to study the Word of God and make an effort to find those things out and put them in your heart. But God says, I want to help you. I will write them in your heart if you will allow me. Like Elizabeth shared one time, I didn't want to get too close to God because he may send me to, what was that place? He might send you, may send me to Africa on missions. And her, she was convinced that they didn't have restrooms over there.
At that point in my life, I was not listening to God writing his will on me, on my heart and mind. I wasn't listening. I went to church, I heard the preacher, all that, but I have since dedicated time and effort and opened my heart for the Holy Spirit to write his will. You know, all those things he tells us, all these commands, all these rules of the covenant, they're for your good. For example, the covenant says, do not steal. Why? Because he said, if you need something, ask me. You don't have to steal. You don't have to take it from someone else. He says, worship me only. Why? Is he an egomaniac? No. He knows that he's the only God. And so if a person tries to worship somebody else, they're not going to get any results. Amen. He wants to give to you. And the way he does it, he writes on your heart his will. He writes it on your heart and your mind. Isn't that precious? Amen. It's not just your heart, because sometimes you don't know how to hear your heart. But listen, I know how to hear my mind. It goes 24/7, I think. And he said, I'm so gracious, I'll not only write it on your heart, I'll write it on your mind so you'll know my will. Amen? I'll know my will. It's God's will for you to know the terms of the covenant. You know, when you become a citizen of another country, if you're an adult, you have to take a test, at least in the United States. I don't know every country. But the United States, you have to take a citizenship test, and it's pretty comprehensive. It tells you, it asks you questions about the government and how things are run and how things are done and how to make changes and what's expected of you. Well, when you join the kingdom of God by being born again, there are rules that work in the kingdom. Now, things that work in the United States, for example, we went on a trip, and in Texas, you can turn right. If the light is red, you can still, after you stop, turn right. It's Texas law. Did you know that's not a law in every state? And those police, they'll come after you. What are you doing? Nothing. Well, you ran a red light. Well, I stopped first. Are you from Texas? Yes. We don't do that here. Okay, so there are lots of rules and things that we think that are not done in the kingdom of God. For example, you can't be rude to each other and please God. You can't judge each other and please God. You can't tell lies. You can't steal. You can't hurt your neighbor and please God. You can stay in the kingdom, but you can't please God. And so God wants to teach us what to do to have a good life in the kingdom of God. Lots of people pray. Oh God, it's emergency. Oh God, I've tithed, I attended church. Oh God. And they wonder why their prayers are not answered. They're not praying in the rules. The rules are to pray in faith, not doubting, and you'll get it, right? So there are rules in the covenant, and that's what John wants us to learn and study. God wants it for us even more because he told John to teach us. In the new covenant, that's what you're in. It's a covenant between God and Jesus, and we're in because we are born again, and we are in by the blood of Jesus. One time I saw this movie, and the FBI man was going backstage. You probably saw it. Miss Congeniality. So the FBI man is going backstage looking for the bad guy. And the man that's an image consultant is following him along. And so when the FBI comes to the guard of backstage, the guard recognizes him and says, go on through. But he stops the image consultant. And the FBI man says, he's with me. So they let him in. It's that way with you. You know, there are rules and things in the kingdom of God, and you go to the guard, and the guard says, and Jesus turns around and said, no, it's okay. He's with me. She's with me. It's not your qualifications. It's because you're with Jesus, because you're in Christ. That's what gives you all the blessings of the covenant. Amen.